Let me share some word with you, and then we'll give, we'll worship in our giving at the end. And Pastor George, can you be prepared to lead us in that? You good? Okay, give me a smile or something, and let me know. You got us? Okay, all right, all right. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you for thank you for 25 years. I thank you that we're still just getting started. You've brought us to the kingdom for such a time as this. May all that you've purposed to do unfold in power and in your glory. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to lead this body of believers. I thank you for this opportunity to be one of many that you've called to the forefront in this season. You've called our house to stand in this place. I pray that you continue to help us, that you continue to help us in every way, individually and corporately. I pray now that this word would resonate in all of our hearts, that as we leave here, we leave with a greater sense of the purpose and destiny for which we were born and what you are requiring of us in this season of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This week I took time to put together just a few slides, and I'm going to ask that you just kind of follow along with the scriptures as I'm reading them. Again, I'm talking about disciplines to walk in kingdom dominion. Disciplines to walk in kingdom dominion. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Jamal brought forth a really great word, designed for dominion, and that's absolutely what God has meant for us. And we're making our way back to that place of walking in dominion as God has intended for us. But I want you to know that it starts personally and then it happens corporately. Amen. So I want to share some scriptures that I hope will bring some, if you will, focus on areas of discipline. Now, this isn't all of them. We won't get to all of them now. We'll probably be it'll be after the anniversary. But I want to talk about these things because one of the things I believe God is going to require of us is we're going to have to really grow up fast now. Okay? We're going to have to grow up quickly now. We're going to have to mature quickly now. The world is becoming more violent. The world is becoming more evil. And that's not something for us to get worried about. The scriptures make it clear that that's exactly what would happen. But it's even while that is happening, the church is coming to the forefront. The church is beginning to come into that place of power, that place of authority in every cultural sphere of influence. And we stand sure-footed, make no apologies, because we're here to be used by God to win the world for Christ. Amen? Glory to God. So in that, as I've been thinking about it and praying about it, God led me to this passage here, 2 Peter chapter 1, 1 through 11. I'm not going with the first verse, but I'm picking it up a little later. You can, in your personal time, read the whole passage there. But it says this. It says, now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence, say discipline. Discipline. Mm-hmm. Applying all diligence, discipline in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, say increasing. Now this to me speaks of growth, okay? If these qualities are yours and they're increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're going to be fruitful and useful to God, then these qualities should exist and be increasing, or shall I say, you're exercising these in your life. I believe that this is an opportunity for us all to grow exponentially. I want to encourage some of you because you're finding yourself now in a season that seems to be more weighty than any other season of your life. There's a reason for it. It's because God is placing weight on you to increase you quickly now. to increase you quickly now. It goes on and it says this. It says, for he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. He is blind and short-sighted. It's unfortunate to say, but it is a truth and a reality right now in the body of Christ. We got a lot of blind folk in the church. We got a lot of short-sighted folk in the church. Can't see past their own experiences to recognize that there is life outside of your life. There are experiences outside of your experience. And oftentimes when we are able to come together, share experiences, there may be some commonalities that we share, but there's also differences. And if we can share those differences, relate to one another in those differences, it will expand and increase all of our capacity. For he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent. Say disciplined. All the more disciplined to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice, say exercise, as long as you exercise these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. Now, I said this on last week. It really, really, really needs to be repeated. And I need you to understand what it's saying right here as Holy Spirit has given it to me. For as long as you practice, exercise these things, you will never stumble. Meaning you will be able to walk sure-footed. You will be able to walk confidently. You will be able to walk consistently. And you'll be able to keep moving forward. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you will be abundantly supplied to you. Meaning this, as you walk in this way, as you exercise and practice these things, the kingdom will be abundantly supplied to you. Meaning the kingdom will continue to be larger in you and to you. Are you listening to me? It'll be larger in you and to you. You see, when you're able to operate out of the largeness of the capacity of the kingdom in you, that's what causes the manifestation of the kingdom outside of you. Now, you have to know that it doesn't come without some intentionality. It doesn't come without some opposition and testing. I keep reminding myself that we came into this year, at least I shared the theme. I don't know how many people really grabbed a hold of it. I choose to believe most of you, if not all of you, under the sound of my voice, and those that are joined to this house that are watching, really grabbed a hold of this for yourself, that this is a year of aggressive kingdom advancement. Say aggressive kingdom advancement. I've seen some things in the spirit. I've seen some things inside, and I choose to believe that all of those things can be manifested outside. I see these grounds I'm talking about here at the embassy beautifully taken care of. I see awnings over the doorways when you come in that say embassy on it. Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. I see it beautifully landscaped. I see an interior building that when you come in, it's like walking into a different place that doesn't look anything like anything else around. You recognize you've landed in a different sphere. You've now entered the kingdom of God. When you come on the grounds, you've now entered the kingdom of God. I see those things, but it doesn't happen without aggressive kingdom advancement. I can't tell you how many people we've tried to reach over the last few weeks to get our grounds cleaned up, and we couldn't reach anybody. Everybody seemed to be busy, but kept calling. Pastor Jamal and I, we riding down the street and see a truck with a signage, or a truck with a rider mower on the back of it. And we're looking to get the phone number to call them. I'm just trying to find anybody who can get it done. I'm talking about intentionality. Say intentionality. It's the same way for the kingdom. What has God shown you concerning you and his kingdom that hasn't happened yet? And what I submit to you is there's a need to walk in levels of discipline, to walk in kingdom dominion. It is that way for all of us, and it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. I'm grateful to God that he allowed me to write this latest book, Same Faith, Same God, Living in the Realm of Ridiculous Faith, because I had no idea the impact that it would have on the lives of many. And I'm not talking about just those that you think are trying to find purpose and destiny. I'm talking about some of those that are walking in purpose and destiny right now. I received a text on yesterday, I won't mention the person's name, but they pastor one of the largest churches in this area. And they text me to say, I want to thank you for the timeliness of this book. I'm in the middle of making the most crucial decision in my life, and this book is helping me with clarity and focus. Now, that's okay. I appreciate you clapping, but you don't have to clap. What I'm saying to you, I'm talking about walking in this place of being intentional. I'm talking about this place, a disciplined walk that brings us into kingdom dominion. I can't tell you how many times where I wanted to just forget about writing the book, but kept going, kept pressing through. What is it that you have seen that you know God wants to do, but it hasn't happened yet? It has to do with this place of disciplines to walk in kingdom dominion. Because you see, once, hear it this way, once you, let me see how to say it. It's good to rent and have a nice place to live. It's better to own. Now, there are financial reasons for that, but with that level of ownership comes dominion. Own the land. Own the property on the land. We own the land. We own the property on the land. And this isn't in a strip mall, some small spot. This is a big building. And with it comes large dominion. With it comes authority. But when Pastor Jamal talked about design for dominion, he talked about dominion mainly in the marketplace. And I talk about dominion in all the seven spheres of cultural influence. That dominion starts with you coming to the reality that you're supposed to walk in dominion and that you're governing your life in a way that causes there to be dominion manifested in you, in your life, in every area of your life. When we were out and we were moving the mulch around, Janella had a hat on that said Destin, Florida on it. But I've been there. And I think, I don't know if it was one of them said, on the beach. I said, no, I wasn't on the beach. I was in my hotel room having a meeting with God. And I wasn't happy. But it was in that meeting I heard something that changed my life. And I'll never forget Destin, Florida. Because it was in that meeting where he said this, to the degree that you're willing to discipline your life is to the same degree I will fulfill what I've shown you. So sometimes, and I'm still going to try to get through a few of these slides here. See, sometimes what we do is, you know, we make it be about the devil why it's not happening. Right. We make it be about this person why it's not happening. We make it be about this person why it's not happening. We make it be about I don't have the money. That's why it's not happening. We make it be about I don't have the connections. That's why it's not happening. We make it be about a lot of things. Sometimes we make it be about God as to why it's not happening. But the epiphany for me was when I was in that room crying out to God, saying, when is this going to happen? And he said that to me. Let me say it one more time. To the degree that you're willing to discipline your life, to the same degree, he will fulfill what he's shown you. Meaning, every time God gives you and I a word that has to do with purpose and destiny, guess what? There's corresponding actions. And some of it means swift obedience. Some things are a process. They will take time. Other things will happen immediately. because they're there and they're just waiting. They're there and they're just waiting. What I've found, though, more often than not is, it's as I understand what's required of me and give myself to the process, then I begin to see that manifestation of the kingdom. I know what's on the inside, but it's through that disciplined place that it then becomes a reality. There are those of you in this room who were with us on Crescentville in 747. You'll remember when I came to you and I repented and I said, this isn't me. And I was talking about that space we were in. It was wonderfully built out. It looked very nice. And the presence of God was there, just like the presence of God is here. But I repented and I said, this isn't me. Why did I say that? Because I knew what was on the inside of me and this didn't match it. But the reason why it didn't match it wasn't because God couldn't do it. It's because I wasn't where I needed to be. And if I was going to get there, I needed to repent. I needed to change. And I needed to do some things differently. And once I did that, it started us on this journey. And here's what you need to understand as well. Sometimes along the journey, you will come to one location and you might think it's it, but it really isn't it. You're still in the process of getting where God wants to take you. And that's where, hear me, that's where you've got to walk in a place of discipline so that, let me go into a few of these slides right now, so that you don't end up getting off track in your attitude. And this is where the discipline needs to kick in. But it's because of my willingness to humble myself before God and to humble myself before you and say, look, I repent. I'm sorry. This isn't me. And then I preach the message, my capacity has increased. Yes, sir. Don't believe me, just watch. Yes, sir. And I didn't do that just for my sake. I believe I did it for many of you as well. I believe I did it for many of you as well. Because you may not have did what I did publicly, but you got somewhere in private and did it. God, I repent. I'm living way beneath what you intended for me. And I need you to help me right now. I don't want to stay in this place. So let me walk you through a few disciplines that I believe are key for us to walk in kingdom discipline. In Romans 8, 1 through 9, it talks about this, where I'm reading the latter part again. Discipline over your mind. Discipline over your mind. Now, this is different than thought, so just hold on. Discipline over your mind. It says, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God. For it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It's talking about carnal thinking. It's talking about carnal thinking. It says here, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. One of the things that God wants to help many in the body of Christ with is this sin conscious versus the redeemed conscious that we're supposed to be living in. It's unfortunate that many, many still teach a message, a gospel, that wants to remind you how sinful your life was. Those of you that are joined to this house know I've never taught a message like that. And I'll never teach a message like that. That doesn't help anybody. I believe the Holy Ghost can remind you of what he needs to remind you of when he needs to remind you of it. But what I want to keep pointing you to is that life of redemption, that life of restitution, that life of reconciliation, and point you to the purpose and destiny that's still made available to you. So your mind stays focused on those things, and the Holy Ghost will help you with the areas that need to align themselves there. Now, I do believe oftentimes, prophetically, God will speak something through a prophet that will address an area in your life in order to say, you need to clear this up, clean this up, and move ahead. But there's the discipline over the mind. all of us, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's everybody. There's no person on this planet that's perfect. There was only one, and he's in heaven praying for you and I, and that was Jesus. That is Jesus. And so there are things that you and I will work through, continue to work through. But there is the discipline over the mind. Your mind should be the redeemed mind. It should be the renewed mind that you're operating out of. And everything you do is to keep your mind in that place. That's why the discipline of the word, studying the word, meditating on the word is what's key. It is our minds are renewed by the washing of the word. And when God was speaking to Joshua and he was saying to him, he was saying, meditate on my word day and night. He's saying, because it's going to be my word that causes you to keep the frame of mind that you must keep. Then there's the discipline of your thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 6, you can read that. Latter part says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh or carnal, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. It says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. It says, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I have the mind of Christ, and every stronghold is broken. I have the mind of Christ. Say that. I have the mind of Christ, and every stronghold is broken. There is a discipline and a need to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. It says, and when we says, and we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If we're going to walk in dominion in spheres of influence, then we've got to walk in dominion in our thought life. We've got to be able to walk in dominion in our thought life. We've got to be able to pull down those things that are contrary to the will of God, the word of God, the purpose of God, the destiny of God for your life. It is a discipline. Say discipline. It's something that you and I learn to do and we learn to walk in. I believe it's Joyce Myers in her book, Three Battlegrounds. One of it was the mind. One of it's the mind. The thoughts. When we have a steady diet of the Word of God that begins to frame our thoughts, then you can recognize when the enemy's saying something. You can recognize when that thought is not your thought. It comes out of that discipline. You ever say, I don't know where that thought came from? Because you recognize it wasn't my thought. And you recognize it wasn't God's thought. Let me keep moving. We're going to get out of here shortly. Then there's the discipline over our emotions. Discipline over our emotions. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. Now I want you to pause for a moment and kind of make this connection. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, lying, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Now, is that talking about us? And then he says, be angry and yet do not sin. Why would he say that after what he just said? Can I offer to you? Because sometimes folks don't want to hear the truth. And they get angry with you when you tell them the truth. Or sometimes, come on, let's get real about it, you don't want to hear the truth. So you get angry when someone's speaking the truth to you. And that's when you're led to join a different church. Or all those kind of things that happen. Now, I know that this is, I just know this is the truth. Walk through it many times. Be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. Moses' downfall was his anger. Moses' downfall was his anger. He wasn't after he killed the Egyptian angry. Was sentenced to 40 years. I know he wasn't like sentenced, but he was on the back dead. 40 years. God sovereignly moved him out there. 40 years. He comes back. He comes back to lead God's people. But the unfortunate thing is there's still something there that had he only just relinquished himself, relinquished it or disciplined himself in this area, he'd have been okay. Anybody ever have, before you were saved, anybody ever have a problem with anger? I mean, where you would just go off on somebody. I see a few of y'all raising your hands. I'm shocked. I'm like, God has really redeemed you. Anger. Emotions. Be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Moses is leading the people, and he's starting to get frustrated. And what God is doing is demonstrating to the people his faithfulness to them by working one miracle after another after another. But in the moment when they were now wanting water again, first time he hits the rock. The second time, he tells him, speak to the rock. And what's he do? He hits it. It's like, you're on my last nerve. And he hits the rock. They get the water. But the price that Moses paid for having not dealt with that anger is that you can't lead them any further. I can't let this go this time. You will watch them go into the promised land, but you won't go with them. Come on, say discipline over your emotions. Discipline over your emotions. Let me just spend a little time on this one. This next one, and then we're going to wrap it up for now. It's a good one to end on. Discipline over your mouth. Amen. Discipline over your mouth. We like to quote scriptures like, death and life are in the power of the tongue. We like to say the word of, we like the power of confession, and there is power in confession. But it's only once that we have learned how to discipline our mouths, what we say, that really move us into a place of consistently seeing God's word being fulfilled in our lives. Say consistently. I am convinced that most of us, if we are not careful, we circumvent what God is doing because of our mouths. Because of what we say. And we don't mean to do it, But we've never really understood the place of discipline that you and I need to have in this area as well. So you'll see there, it says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. My, my, my. Who do you think he's talking to here? He's talking to us. He's talking to us. I know we want to make it spiritual and say he's talking to the body of Christ. He's talking to me. Come on, say he's talking to me. Come on, now we're going to be real honest here. How many of you be honest to say, I know I've said some things that were not wholesome? Now, let's get a little closer. How many of you would say recently? Because hear me, because if you haven't learned to discipline your emotions, you can be pulled in your emotions to the place where you're saying something you wish you'd have never said. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear it. So when I talk about speaking faith-filled words, I'm not just speaking something or saying something because I think it's spiritual or it's clever or it's deep. No, I'm saying it because this is the way we're supposed to be living our lives. Truth of the matter is, if we were really walking this out, we would be saying a whole lot less. Then it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. What does that mean? It means that you are the temple of God. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And when you say something that's unwholesome, it's like the Holy Ghost. Why did he say that? Okay, we'll clean it up later. We'll have to fix it later. It's going to take a little work. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear it. Sometimes, now we're talking about the discipline of our mouths, we're talking about the discipline of our tongue, the discipline of what we say. Sometimes it's better, hear me, it's better to walk away than to speak something out in the moment emotionally. And you know that what you said has done some damage. And you know that it wasn't something you need to say because that feeling you get from Holy Ghost on the inside. I'm taking my time with this one because, hear me, in the coming days, we've already begun to experience them. A lot of folks are speaking out their emotions. They're speaking out their emotions about abortion rights. They're speaking out their emotions about gun rights. They're speaking out of their emotions about civil rights. They're speaking out of their emotion about what some have called gay rights. They're speaking out of their emotions, out of their emotions, out of their emotions, out of their emotions. And a lot of people are saying a lot of things. And a lot of folks that are saying things are church folk who happen to have a platform, or church folk who are on Facebook or TikTok or YouTube, and they think it gives them a license to say something. A lot of things are said, a lot of things are going to be said. And I believe one of the reasons God is helping me with this to help you with this is because our words are going to be have to become few in this season. We're going to have to be like Jesus was when he finally went before Pilate. You remember when he stood there and he's on trial, and it says that his words were few, and then eventually he didn't say anything else. That's the level of discipline for you and I to walk in. See, sometimes we think that because we have information, no information, may even be right information, that it's good to say it. But those of you that have been around me long enough, you know I say this. Just because you have the right to say it doesn't make it right to say it. And that's where we've got to land in this place. Well, what's your opinion on? Wait a minute. You want my opinion or you want what the Word says? Those are two different things. You want my opinion or you want what the Word says? Now, if I'm living my life out of the Scriptures, then my opinion should line up with the Scriptures. But what do you think about this? What do you think about, someone recently asked me, what do you think about, I'm not going to say his name, what do you think about the preacher who now said tithing is not biblical? I just said it's a distraction. That's all. Here at Ayers, if you join the Ayers, been part of Ayers any amount of time, you know this. We've always taught one thing concerning giving. It's all worship. It's all worship. That's it. Never taught law. Never used those scriptures that way. Even though we will speak to what it says in Malachi. But it has to do with the principle of stewardship. And that's why we will teach that. And that's why we will talk about that. That way. But I want to say to you, I want to say to all of us, particularly those of you that are joined to this house, if you call yourself part of Ayers Covenant Church, and Donna, I thank you. Yesterday was the first time I heard you say, he's my pastor. Thank you. I caught that. I guess when you're standing on the side of the road and the only person with you is this, you know, I guess that's a good time to... The police said, are you her significant other? I said, well, I'm her pastor. I guess that counts for being significant in some way. Well, yeah, it does. But if you're joined to this house, I want to encourage all that are joined to this house, be wise with your words. Make it less about your opinion and say, well, let's see what the Word says. You want to shut down some conversations? What do you think about? Well, let's see what the Word says. Eric, would you come up shortly? Pastor George will be up here, and I'm sure he'll enjoy having you play with him. Can I finish this passage of Scripture? Because it gets a little deeper, y'all. So it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption. If you are Holy Ghost filled, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. He is the one governing you. He is the one who is there in order to help you when you're about to say the wrong thing. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Now that's some list right there. You need to know that that's moving progressively from anger to clamor to slander. Now you're really trying to hurt someone. Be put away from you along with all malice. Anybody know what the word malice really means? What'd you say? Evil intent. That's good. The word malice means, it means intent to do harm. So when you ever see somebody brought up on charges and they say with malice, what they're adding on is, you meant to do this. You meant to do this. And so when it says here, let all bitterness and wrath and clamor, anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Because now malice has to do with the heart. And the scriptures say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why we need our hearts renewed. That's why the Holy Spirit will illuminate our hearts to show us what's really there. See, if we're going to be in a place of kingdom dominion, we've got to have these disciplines that are in operation every day, all day. You can't murmur and gossip and think that it's going to please God. I'm trying to end this. In James chapter 3, verse 8, it says, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Whew. Now, I know you don't really do that, but if we're not living in this place of sensitivity, it's easy for us to do that. You want to get in trouble, murmur and complain. Gossip and spread slander. And in Ephesians, it ends out with this. It says, this is what you got to do. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Now, I know I spent a good amount of time on that one, but we needed to. Discipline over our minds, discipline over our thoughts, discipline over our emotions. Discipline over our mouths. A couple of weeks, we're going to come back and hit a few more. Is that all right? Amen. Would you thank the Lord for this word if it spoke to you today?